Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to Voices Radio. This is Sister Debbie. God bless you and welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're first time visiting our show, we definitely want you to continue to tune in. Voices is about reaching this generation, to saving our generation and those to come. Amen. God bless you. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started with our topic on today. Dear Lord God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way and your say. God, say what you want to say, Lord God, and bless us, Lord, as we bless you, Father. We just thank you that you be with us during these dark times, and we look on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Our verse today is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Amen. Again, Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Sister Debbie. I'm with Voices, and I've actually been commentating. I've been on radio for a little bit here. I've done some prior work in the area of commentating, interviewing authors and artists through a whole other ministry that I used to have. And now, hey, we're focusing on saving the lives of children, prioritizing, right, and wanting to do what is on the heart of the Lord and concerned about what's on the heart of the Lord, which is saving these children. That's definitely one of his main priorities, I believe, is his children, keeping them alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go a little bit into our subject today. Now, our subject today is talking about why. Why do women have abortions? Why? What is it that they need to know? You know, what we want to answer some of those why questions. All right, so I'm going to go into a little bit of that today. I want to go ahead and start with some statistics, just give you some historical some history, some statistics. We're going to be talking about the GOOT, it's called Guttmacher Institute, and they have on their page a fact sheet, and I want to talk a little bit about that. It says induced abortions in the United States, and I'm going to go ahead and read that first. It says who has abortions. At 2014, abortion rates about one in four. 24% women will have an abortion by age 45. More than half of all U.S. abortion patients in 2014 were in their 20s. Patients aged 20 to 24 obtained 34% of all abortions, and patients aged 25 to 29 up 27%. Adolescents made up 12% of abortion patients in 2014. Those aged 18 to 19 account for 8% of all abortions. 15 through 17-year-olds for 3%, and those younger than 15, 0.2%. And then it goes into race as well, and it gives us more information on that. I want to focus on the why. I may get into race a little later on. I don't know. Right now, I want to focus on the why. Why women have abortions, and here's some why women reasons for having an abortion. And if I'm reading it right, this is perspectives on sexual and reproductive health and family planning perspectives, and it tells us where we may obtain the information. I want to go ahead and read a little bit more. It says, why do women in the United States have abortion? It says, an analysis published in Perspectives in 2005 used a mixed method approach to examine this question, a topic that had not been investigated for nearly 20 years. In the study, researchers from the Guttmacher Institute compared quantitative data from 2004 and 1987 surveys and found that the main reasons women cited for ending pregnancies were the same in both. Having a baby will dramatically interfere with their education, work, or ability to take care for their dependents, or they cannot afford a baby at the time. Interviews portrayed women who had had an abortion as typically feeling that they had no other choice, given their limited resources and existing responsibilities to others. And lastly, it says this innovative study has had an important impact on the literature, having been cited in more than 125 articles as of this writing. So I just wanted to share that information because we need to know a little bit about who has them and why they have them. And now I want to get into the whys of God. This is a Christian podcast, and I'm going to be talking from a Christian perspective, so I want to answer some questions. So let's talk a little bit about that. We talk about why. We talk about the why. If we were to seek the Lord concerning why we do the things we do. Well, we'd have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. We'd have to go way back to Genesis 3 during the fall when Adam and Eve were in the coolness of the day walking with God and all. And then Eve listened to the serpent. She bit the apple. They disobeyed God. They, you know, the land was cursed and they were separated from God. And then God provided a substitute through Jesus Christ to bring us back to Him. But before I jump the gun, the why would be, the reason why we don't have, make the choices is because of the fall. The why would be we don't make the right choices because we don't know Him. The why would be because some of us don't even know to seek Him to even have the answers. So God has some answers for you. Amen. I want to answer them biblically. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And I want to go a little bit more into that in detail. I did some research here in reference to the pulpit commentary, and it talks a little bit about it. It said this verse occurs again in Proverbs 16:25. It says, which says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. That may refer to the blinding effect of passion and self-will. For these make a man think his own way best desirable. So that's one thing that happens with sin in our separation with God, you know. You know, when we fail, we lost that connection with God, right? So God is, He's all wisdom. So we lost the connection with God. And so we begin to depend on our own wisdom, you know, in the wisdom of, I don't want to say wisdom, but the thinking of the way the world thinks or the way the enemy infiltrates our minds. Because remember, Satan fell from heaven, right, onto the earth, right? And the Bible says he's the God of this world. Okay, the little g, right? And so he controls the thinking processes of the world. And I'm going to get into that in Ephesians 2. Right now, let me go ahead and read a little bit more of that before I do that. So we have, again, this may refer to the blinding effects of passion and self-will, for these make a man think his own way best and most desirable. But it seems better to take it as a warning against following a perverted or uninstructed conscience. Okay? Let me go to Ephesians 2. For those of you that have your Bible, let's hop on over to Ephesians 2. I'm going to go ahead and get that in the computer really quick. All right, again, we're talking about what we were before we came to Christ. And some of you, those of you who do not know Christ and do not know the Lord yet and do not know His way yet, you say, you know what, go ahead and share. I want to know about God's ways. I want to know the instruction that He intended for me to have and that He wants me to have. So we're going to Ephesians 2, and it's in the Holy Bible. Okay, and it's in the New Testament. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read. Here we go. As for you, Ephesians 2 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, all right? So that talks a little bit about our old nature, all right? Let's go back now to what we're reading, the text we're reading, or that I've been reading. Let me pull it up. And so here we have, conscience needs to be informed by God's word and ruled by God's will to make the safe guide. When properly regulated, it is able to pronounce a verdict upon contemplated action, and its verdict must always be obeyed. But warped by prejudice, weakened by disuse and disobedience, judiciously blinded in punishment, and in consequence of sin, it loses all power of moral judgment and becomes inoperative of good, and then acts the way that seemeth at the moment right. The end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 5:5, the man is following a false light and is led astray and goes headlong to destruction, right? So then you don't have a boundary because you lack wisdom, because you lack direction, because you lack guidance, because you didn't get it, you didn't receive it, or you walked away from it, or you thought it wasn't important. There could be different reasons why people, or why we do the things we do, right? The word also says, and I'm going now to training up a child. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:6, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Another verse, another translation says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. And so God, from the very beginning, wants us to begin to train our children. He wants us to teach them His ways. He wants us to know His ways so we can lead them in His way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Jesus wants to lead you to the Father. He wants you to lead you on the right path, in the right direction, in the right way. Jesus Christ is Jesus in your life is a relationship with God. Okay, it's really knowing him through the Holy Spirit, letting him lead you and guide you and direct you through his word, the Bible. All right, so the Bible's not supposed to just sit on our shelves and get dusty. We're literally supposed to read it. It's supposed to guide our lives. Right, if we look around the world today, a lot of people who've studied the Bible, Bible scholars, and just probably just an ordinary person can look around and say, oh, my God, there must be a God. And what I mean by that, what's going on right now is so, from what I've heard, is so in line with Bible prophecy, you know, the things and the timing and that kind of thing, right? Like I was saying, we kind of look around our world and see things are really crazy right now during this pandemic. Not to worry. God has already finished the book. He says we win. What I want to do is tell you about how you can get in Him so He can bring you to the end that He wants to bring you to, an acceptable and pleasing end. Amen. Well, then He has a good outcome for you. Amen. So you want to hold on. You want to hold tight. You want to hear what the Lord is saying. So again, we want to talk about why. Why? Why do we make the choices that we do? Why do we make the choices that we do for various reasons? I read some of them earlier. Why women, specifically, why women have abortions? Okay, it could be because of they want to go back to school. It could be because they have too many children already. It could be because they're already in poverty or they're struggling. It could be because it's like, well, it's a one-night stand, and I didn't care about him. He didn't care about me, or I broke up with my husband, or I broke up with my boyfriend, or it could be emotionally driven. But that's not a good excuse. You know, those aren't good excuses, because the reality is really that you don't know the way, because you think in your mind, right? Like we think in our minds and our reasoning that if we get this education, if I get this man, if I get this house, that I'm going to be happy. Okay, I'm not going to say that could add to your happiness. But ultimately, it's going to answer the questions that you really want answered. Is it really going to bring you the kind of peace that you're really looking for? What if you have all those things? Then what? Are you going to still know who God is, what your purpose is? And what if you lay on your deathbed? Can those things answer the questions that you're going to have if you're laying on your deathbed? What are the questions that you have? Not only that, what are the questions that God has for you? What are the kind of questions? You're going to be able to answer the questions that he has for you. If you were standing before him, oh, well, I decided to, you know, kill my baby because, you know, I needed the education, or I needed a job, or I needed, you know, I already had too many kids, or I was already in poverty. No, God wants us to get out of our thinking and to deal with real issues. Real issues like, God, who are you? Real issues like, who am I? What's my purpose? What's my value? Okay? Emotional issues. It could be, God, I didn't have a daddy. I don't feel loved. God, I don't know who I am. It's delving deeper. It's okay to ask some of those questions, okay? When you're lost, when you don't have any direction, we don't know who you are. The Bible says, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things will be added unto you. God says to seek him with your whole heart, and then you will find him. If you don't seek, how are you going to know? If you don't question it, if you don't question what you do, how are you going to change? You're just going to keep on doing the same things. We're going to keep on doing the same things that we've always done. If we don't say, wait just a minute, something is wrong, right? Right now in this pandemic, we all wonder, what in the world? What is going on? What did we do wrong? Now, I have my ideas on my thoughts on what we did wrong and what happened. But there's so many things that could be at play as well. Right? I know my passion is, you know, I'm pro-life, I'm anti-abortion. You know, I believe that it's a result of killing all these kids. That's me. I also believe that another important part is, you know, homosexuality and letting that just run rampant, and then teaching our kids to be homosexual and changing the names. And you can call a girl a boy and a boy and a girl. I think through the confusion, I think God just had to step in and stop everything. That's me. However, it also could be that God set us all home. He said he just stepped in, shut everything down, and said, okay, you know what? This is too much. Too much confusion, too much madness, too much, I don't know, right? And he's just dealing with it the way he wants to deal with it. And then, you know, think about it. We, or the world, for the most part, in lots of places, definitely in America, from what I understand, is not told God in so many words, we really can do this thing on our own. We got this. We're going to run it the way we want to run it, you know, by the way our world is, right? With the abortions and the homosexuals and all the crazy stuff. You see two men kissing on a TV set. So basically, that's saying, you know, that's saying it in what? In action. So guess what? It got real crazy. So once you tell God to get out, you're taking out, well, God is protection. So you just said, okay, you done took the lid off the thing. The devil's already there. You already invited him in because God was the only one protecting it. That's my thinking. That's my reasoning, part of my reasoning, a big major part. All right. So my point is, going back to the why of things, I think it's because of sin. It's because of rebellion. It's because of turning away from God. It comes from not knowing God. And also we're ending the last, we're near the end of the last days. And so these are things that I wanted to address. It's important to know and to be aware of, but also realize that, you know what, you're not left at a loss because of this, because God in his grace has provided a way out. And I want to go to Ephesians 2. The rest of that particular verse says this. It says, but God, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he may show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Well, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we've got to realize there's hope in Christ. Amen. There's hope in Christ. And so I want to go ahead and lead you now to the hope. I want to lead you now to the way. I want to answer the question of the why. And it's in Romans 10 and 9. Let's go to now. For those of you guys have your Bible, go to Romans 10 and 9. I'm going to go ahead and pull that verse up as well. And it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. And so if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he comes in. He takes over. He's your Lord and Savior. Listen, heaven becomes your home. You get in your Bible. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and direct you. He will. He will father you. He will lead you. He will protect you. And let me tell you something. If you've sinned, ask God to forgive you of your sins. Confess the sin of abortion. Confess the sins of homosexuality. Confess any sin, every sin, all sin. God, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is unjust to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and from every sin. Let's go on over to that verse. Let's go to that. I'm going to say that verse right. I don't want to guess at that verse. Okay, 1 John 1:9. If you have your Bible, here we go. If we confess, amen. The different translations, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So go ahead and cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he will answer your questions. And let me tell you something. Things we don't know, there's some things in life we will never know. But God got your back. He sees you. He got you. He just wants you to make the right decisions because he loves you. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you're not alone. Call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and he will answer you. Amen. Hope you tune in again. Welcome again. Thank you so much for listening to Voices Radio. God bless.